last week we began in the book of John, and it says there that Jesus is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness. Jesus came to bring light and hope to a dark world. But then as we come to the passage for today, John switches gears and begins to talk about John the Baptist. It's not the same person who wrote the book. John, the disciple, wrote the book. John the Baptist is a different person altogether. But he switches gears right after talking about Jesus. So with that in mind, as we go to Scripture, let's pray before we read the Word. Lord, we thank you for this Word, and we pray today that all of our hearts and minds would be open to hear it, and that you would bless your Word as it is read and preached. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to be reading 6 through 9 today of John chapter 1, but I'm going to go back and read yesterday's passage just so you get an idea of the or last week's passage as you get an idea of the transition. It says in John chapter 1 verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And then verse 6 begins with the transition. "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." A few years ago, a book came out that was an international bestseller. I think a lot of you people here read it, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And it was a bestseller for a lot of reasons. But I think the reason it had such broad appeal was the subtitle there. And the subtitle was, "What on Earth Am I Here For?" And isn't that something that for centuries human beings have been asking? Lord, why am I here? What is my purpose? Why am I on this earth? And I think it must have been so exciting for John to realize what his purpose was, why he was sent here. He was sent to point people to Christ. He was sent to testify to Christ so that people would believe in him. What an exciting thing it must have been to realize for him that this is what I am supposed to do. He was supposed to pave the way for Jesus. But ultimately, his mission is not very different from ours. As a matter of fact, in a broad sense, it's the same mission. We might have a different role to play than John the Baptist did, but our role is the same. Our role is to testify to the light, to testify to Jesus Christ, to point people to Christ. That is our role. That is our mission. And you know, as you look at this passage, I believe what God is telling us by having this transition here is this. He is saying, yes, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is going to bring light to the entire world. But he's going to use human beings to share the message, to lead people to Christ. The point of this passage here is this, is that God is using John to testify to Jesus Christ. And if you take a broader view of that, if you take a step back, the point that can be made is God uses people to point people to Jesus Christ. So that's the point here today. We are to reflect Christ's love to the world. We are to be reflectors of who he is. And you think of a reflector, if you wear a reflector when you're walking or running, it doesn't give off its own light, it simply reflects the light that's come toward it. And I want you to think about what is the biggest reflector that we know of? The moon. If you look up at the sky on a clear night, when it's a full moon, it gives light. It shines. I mentioned last week, I actually was complaining last week, that Ashburnham doesn't have many street lights and it's too dark at night. But if it's a full moon on a clear night, you don't need street lights. It gives off enough light. But the fact is that that moon doesn't give any light in and of itself. The light comes from the sun, bounces off the moon to us. It gives light to a dark world. That's what we are to do. We are to reflect the light, the love, the life of Jesus Christ to a dark world. And it's fine to make analogies like that, and I think the analogy fits what we're supposed to do. But let's take it into concrete terms. What does that mean in terms of our life? How does that get played out in our lives? It gets played out the way John the Baptist plays it out. He testifies to Christ with his words. He tells people that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He tells people that Jesus was before all things. Let me read to you what John says in John chapter 1, verse 35 through 37. It says, "The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." Now you'd think, in order to get somebody to follow Jesus, you'd need a much longer sermon than that. I mean, as pastors, you know, we preach for 20 or 30 minutes. You hear Billy Graham preach, he usually gives about a 15-minute sermon. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and people follow Jesus. But that was what he was sent for. He was sent to point people to Jesus, to tell people about Jesus, to use words to tell people about Jesus. That's how we reflect Jesus Christ, with our words, to tell people about Jesus. We tell people what it says in the Bible, and we tell people what it says, what Jesus has done in our lives. Don't forget that when you're talking to somebody about your faith, that your testimony is as powerful as anything, to tell people what Jesus has done in your life. A woman came in earlier this week, and she was looking for some help. She didn't have any heat in her home. She had these two little kids and tried to help her this week, but she didn't know much about God or anything like that. And I started to talk with her a little bit. And I said to her, "You know," I said, "God has made all the difference in my life." I said, "It doesn't mean that if you follow the Lord that you will have no problems after that, but you will know how to deal with those problems if you have the Lord in your life." And she said, "Boy, I could really use that." And I'm hoping the conversation continues into the future with that. But we testify to Christ with our words. We also testify to Him. We reflect His light with our actions. John is doing a Christ-like thing. John has left his family, his home. He's gone out into the wilderness to do the Lord's will. He's made a sacrifice. He's demonstrated, "Look, I don't need all the stuff the world has to offer. All I need is the Lord." He's doing a very Christ-like thing here. He's demonstrating Christ's love with his actions. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to demonstrate Christ to the world with our actions by imitating Him. And how do we imitate Christ? Well, as Christians, we imitate Christ by following the leading of the Spirit, by reading the Word. What did Jesus do? What does the Bible say that Jesus did? In order to know what Jesus would do in a situation, you've got to know what He did. We've got to be in the Word. That's how we can be good reflectors. Great reflectors of Christ are people who are in the Word. And if I could sum up Jesus' life, and there's a lot that went on in Jesus' life, but if we could sum up one thing to imitate, I would do that by summing up with two words: sacrificial love. That's what we are to demonstrate to the world. Love that says, "I'm willing to give up everything for you." We are to demonstrate that to the world. I was talking to a man about 8 or 10 months ago who said he had been a Buddhist, but he became a Quaker. He said he wanted to make Jesus the center of his life. And I said, "Well, what happened? How did that change take place?" He said he was reading an article about Mother Teresa. And in Calcutta, Mother Teresa would go to this place in the city where people would go to die. They would just go to the sidewalk, and they knew the end of their life was near, and she would go there. And she would just minister to those people as they were dying and make them as comfortable as they possibly could be. And he said, "I didn't see that in any other faith, that kind of love. I didn't see that anywhere else." He said, "So I decided to become a Christian." The way we live our lives is a witness. It testifies to the life, to the light. It reflects Christ's light to the world. It draws people in. But we have to be careful, because when people are drawn to us, there's a tendency to praise us. You're trying to do what God wants you to do, and people might give you praise for it. But remember, if you're a good reflector, you reflect praise too. So when somebody praises you and say, "Wow, you did a great thing," you say, "No, the Lord did a great thing. The Lord used me to do a great thing. It's because of Him that I did this. I give Him all the glory and all the praise." That's what a good reflector does. I want to read to you what John did when people came to him and they asked him, Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah?" I'm going to read a fairly long section here in John 1, verses 19 through 30, and it says this. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" You see what John does? People are coming to John, they're thinking he's this great preacher, this great teacher, and he keeps pointing to Jesus. "I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals." And John has a following. John has disciples. A little bit later on in the book of John, John chapter 3, we see John's disciples coming to him and saying, "John, all of your disciples are going over to Jesus. What are we supposed to do now?" You know what John's response was? John's response about Jesus was, "He must increase, I must decrease." What a great humble attitude. A good reflector is humble. I think of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, who was a pastor in England. And his famous quotation that was been quoted for centuries was this, "I know two things. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." He was always pointing people to Christ. He wrote the most popular, the most well-known song in the history of the world, and he kept pointing people to Christ. That's really not, though, how the world responds, is it, to praise? You know, you see this at Oscar award shows. They have the red carpet. I mean, how arrogant is it to walk in somewhere on a red carpet and then to stop and let people take pictures of you? You know? "Look at me. Look at me, how wonderful I am." Or you see athletes, you know, pounding their chests. "Look at me." There was one famous athlete a few years back who, after a great game, said, "I underestimated the magnitude of me." Of me. He played for the Yankees, which isn't a surprise. But we have the ability to reflect Christ's light. We also have the ability to block out his light and take some glory away from him. Going back to the sun-moon analogy, if you've ever seen a solar eclipse during the day, that moon has the ability to reflect the light. It also has the ability to block out the sun for a little while. So if you look up in the sky, you see some rays coming out from the side, but you see a black hole in the middle. Get out of the way. Point to Christ. I was talking with Ed Lewis, he and his wife Nancy have been coming to church for a couple months, but he said he got up to preach in a church, and right behind the pulpit were written the words, "We want to see Jesus." In other words, "Pastor, get out of the way. It ain't about you." It's not our own light. If we do anything good in the world, it's because we're reflecting Christ's light and love to the world. But this isn't just for pastors. It's for all of us. We all have a role to play. What is your role to play in testifying to the light? Through your words and through your actions. And not all of us have the same role. You know, I think about this worship service. I think about us here. And I tend to be the most visible person. I talk for the longest time. And we have the worship team. They're pretty visible up here. And Monica playing the piano. But I think about all the people that it takes to go into making this worship service happen. We have the people who work on the bulletins. People up in the sound room. People who behind the scenes are working on taping the service. We have ushers. We have counters. We have people paying the bills for the building. We have people offering refreshments downstairs. And I'm probably leaving out a few different things. But people who clean the sanctuary. All these different things that take place so that we can testify to the light of the world. We all have a different role to play. So whatever your specific calling is, whatever it happens to be, doesn't matter. As long as in the end it leads to testifying to the light of Jesus Christ, to pointing people to Christ. What are you doing to make sure that people are focused on Jesus Christ? This past week, I went to visit Alice LeBrack, who, as many of you know, is pretty much confined to her apartment. She has a lot of ailments. But I went to visit her, and I was talking to her, and she was asking me some questions about the church. And she asked me how many people are coming, and I told her, and she said, it sounds like the church is growing. I said, yeah, it's growing. But then she asked me a very important question. She's a gentlewoman, but a very serious, important question. She looked me in the eye and she said, are you still preaching the gospel? Or are you watering down the message? What a great question. Now, what she was asking me was this: are you reflecting Christ? Are you staying true to Jesus Christ? I hope that I am. And as we read the Word and we study God's Word and we're faithful to God's Word, that's our guide. You know, Paul, the great missionary of the early church, famous man, was constantly pointing to Christ. He kept saying, I'm the chief of sinners. But in Scripture, he says things like this: Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We are to point people to Christ with our words and with our actions. So the question today that I have to ask you is this: are you a good reflector? Are you pointing people to Christ by what you say and by how you live? Because that's what we are called to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great mission that you've given us to tell people about you and to live lives that are like your life, so that people can be brought to faith in Jesus Christ and people can believe and people can experience the joy of knowing you. We pray that as we go from here, that we would bring honor and glory to your name. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.